So I have something written here when I started John chapter 10. I'll read it. It said it'll be helpful to describe the character of the sheepfold in the Mideast and Palestine, which is the pastoral sections. I said that place was infested with a lot of wild beasts, and every village had a large sheepfold. It was common property of the farmers there, and the sheepfold was protected by a wall, usually around 10 feet high. And when night fell, most of the shepherds would lead their flocks up to the door of the sheepfold through which they passed, leaving their sheep to the care of the porter while they went home or sought lodging somewhere else in the city. Now, the porter lay guard there at the door through the night, ready to protect the sheep against thieves and robbers or against wild animals which would climb the wall. So in the morning, the shepherds returned, and the porter would allow each one to enter through the door and call his sheep. And if you notice, and we'll find out, the sheep would only go to their particular shepherd. They heard his voice, and others wouldn't. It'd be like you calling somebody call my dog. Well, my dog might go to anybody, but usually they'll just go to the one that is their master. And the sheep would respond to the shepherd's voice. He'd lead them out to pasture. And only the sheep that was familiar with the shepherd's voice would come out from the sheepfold. And I often wondered about the rapture, how that would happen. Well, how, when I was a boy, if the church gets caught up, the church gets raptured out, how is God just going to call those certain ones who are saved? Well, we know his voice. We hear his voice. Others won't hear his voice. Then I remember in police work getting a pager years ago, and the only one that got the message was exactly who you wanted to. So that obviously not a problem for God. We know from let's start in verse 1, and I'll go through this a little bit. In verse 1, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door," the Lord speaking here, "here he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." Only one way to get in. And then it says, "He that entereth not by the door." You can't get to heaven any other way. You can't get to heaven by meditating your way. Some of the Eastern religions say, well, you got to meditate. The Bible says, not by the will of flesh nor by the will of man. You can meditate till the cows come home, and it's not going to get you to heaven. There's only one door. You have to go by way of the door. And, of course, I'm in John. The difference, of course, between John and Matthew, Mark, and Luke is that John was written much later, and after the church had been revealed to the Apostle Paul. So in John, there's knowledge of the church, and a lot of this applies directly to Christians, even though in a strict doctrinal sense, dispensationally, it's probably a lot to do with a Jew and so forth later on. But we know from verse 9 that Jesus Christ is the door, and the context here indicates that the sheepfold that they're talking here, probably Judaism, that's the religion of the Jews that the Pharisees were so caught up in. A lot of thieves and robbers, being the Pharisees spoken of in chapter 9. If you remember, the Lord ran them out of the temple because they were exchanging to make a sacrifice, to buy a sacrificial animal for the sacrifice. It had to be Hebrew currency. So what the Pharisees were doing were giving an extremely high exchange rate. They were ripping folks off, turning the Roman currency into the Hebrew currency that had to be used for the sacrifice. That's why the Lord called them a den of thieves and ran them out of the temple. It had nothing to do with a group offering a CD for sale in the back of the church. This had to do with Pharisees who were ripping everybody off. And with the exchange rate, anybody traveled abroad, you know, you get foreign currency, there's an exchange rate involved. And if I know we'd go to Canada fairly often, and there would always be an exchange rate, and every day it became a little bit different what you would get for the American dollar, but that's why they were called thieves and robbers. Now, some other way that the Pharisees chose is indicated by their testimony. Lack of fidelity to the scriptures, they didn't go by the book. There's a lot of religion today that just don't go by God's word. They come up with their own little plan and their own little idea and figure that the times, the current culture, they feel it trumps the truth of the word of God, and it don't. The word of God is settled forever. The Lord said, "Thy word is truth." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So spiritually speaking, we know that no man can enter into the kingdom of God except through Jesus Christ, because he's the door. The Father has given all things, put all things under his feet. One God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the Bible says. The sheepfold here represents safety and peace for the sheep. But the group of Pharisees tried to take or steal from the things of God and set themselves up as the door. They wanted folks to think the door was through them and their religious traditions that they had set up. The Lord was upset with that crowd and said, "You teach for doctrine the traditions of men. You can't do that. That's unscriptural." Verse 2, "But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now the shepherd of the sheep here is clearly the Lord Jesus Christ. By the door, Jesus was legitimately presented to Israel as their Messiah and as their shepherd. His credentials, he had the virgin birth, proper lineage from the tribe of Judah. He had all those things that would signify that he was the Messiah. He had all the works and the miracles of God. He worked the works of his Father in John 9:4. And a further credential we'll see in verse 3. "But the Lord complied when it came to a proper sacrifice. The Lord complied with every demand of the law. Every jot and tittle. No guile found in him, no fault in him." That's what he said about Nathanael. Man in whom is no guile. Well, the Lord had not even a fault. Every prophetic requirement for the Messiah was fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. Every specific detail that was prophesied over 500 years by over 40-something different prophets, I think there was about 48 specific details of Christ's life that came to pass right on the money. That's incredible. And the door was opened to the legitimate, rightful Messiah, and that was Jesus Christ, who then became the very door himself. Our way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's not in a religious system. It's not in keeping the commandments, keeping the sacraments, keeping the golden rule. It's through the door, Jesus Christ. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now the porter was the doorkeeper who vouched for the identity of the shepherd. And a lot of commentators here believe that the porter spoken of in the context is the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, who identified the Lord to John the Baptist. And then John the Baptist was commissioned to open and prepare the way of the Lord. He said, "I'm a voice crying in the wilderness." And in fact, when John's down at the Jordan baptizing, he said the reason that he was there baptizing was to manifest Jesus Christ to Israel. That was his commission. He was a forerunner of Christ. He was a messenger. Matthew 3:16. Now John the Baptist introduced the shepherd to Israel, And 1:31, he says that he should be made manifest, Jesus Christ, that he should be made manifest to Israel. John said, therefore, because of that, am I come baptizing. So the door was a legitimate and appointed entrance into the sheepfold. And this figure meant that the Messiah came by the road of which the Old Testament prophecy had lined out and set forth the prophetic road that the Messiah must take. Many times in Scripture you read that the Lord did certain things, said this they did, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. So the Lord would fulfill that prophetic roadmap. And the porter presented the shepherd to the sheep, and not only had the prophet borne witness to Christ, but in addition to that, when he appeared, the Holy Spirit announced him, and a forerunner heralded him. Isaiah said, unto us a son is given, to us a child is born. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Wow. And the angels announced the birth of the Lord and announced it to shepherds in the field, farmers, not the high sophisticate crowd, but farmers, common folks. Beside this, when the true shepherd of Israel was manifested, the sheep recognized his voice. The true sheep were known to him. For when he called, they recognized his voice. And the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, about the Word of God. It said the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And then it goes on to say, and is able to discern the very thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Lord knew whose heart was toward him. He knew who his true sheep was, and he knew who the pretenders was. In fact, the religious Pharisees were referred to as thieves and robbers. And this was spoken of in 2 Timothy 3:5. It talks about that crowd having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's much of the church today. The church is apostate. They're accepting things that would be abomination to God, that just not many years ago at all would have never been tolerated by any scripture promoting Bible-believing church. Now, the blind beggar was a sample of the flock. If you remember that story, he refused to listen to the voice of strangers, and he nevertheless knew the voice of Jesus Christ. He was drawn to him, and he found salvation. He found security, and God gave him light, gave him sight. And in the response to the Word of God, man will hear Jesus Christ if your heart's in tune with God. And that leads a believer rather than the voice of man. That Holy Spirit should bring conviction to a lost man to bring him to Christ. You can't preach it into him. You can't talk him into it. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to prick that heart and melt that heart and turn that heart to Jesus Christ. And I love to sow win, and you've heard me say this before, when I go sow winning, I understand this thing about the Holy Spirit has to be involved with the sow winning, or it don't work. Well, the Lord said about his word, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And they are lives. First of all, I have the spirit in the words of this book, and I let the folks read those verses. That way I know the spirit's in that book. Also, I am indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. It says, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every matter be established. So there's two witnesses. So I trust that the Spirit is present in the Word of God. The Spirit is present in me as a servant of God. And pray that the Spirit moves on that heart, that they would turn to Christ and get saved. John 3:34, the Bible says, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now the Lord's voice mentioned is heard through the Holy Bible. It's witnessed by the Holy Ghost to the ears and to the heart of someone. Turns that person into a born-again believer the moment that that heart turns to Christ and they reach out by faith and trust him as their Savior. Verse 4, here in our text, John 10. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. We talked about this a little bit, but each sheep distinguished the voice of their own shepherd, thus they would only follow that particular shepherd that they knew. Matthew 24, we'll see that there's a lot of strange voices calling the sheep these days. There's a lot of strange doctrine out there to try to pull you away from the rectitude of the Word of God. And you're not to follow those strange voices. In Luke 19, 5, it says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, talking about Zacchaeus here, and said to him, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. God's looking for people to receive him and receive him joyfully. Matthew 9:9, as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. John 1:43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. When the Lord spoke, his people will hear him. When he speaks, when he steps out on a cloud and says, come up hither, oh, we'll hear him. He told Lazarus, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Wow. So here in our text, we see pictured the rapture and the advent of Jesus Christ. Our Lord will step out and he will call my name. If you're saved here today, your name is going to be called also. Boy, it's wonderful to have your name on that list, to have your name called. Some of you folks, when you were kids, you probably played in sports. And you'd look up, there's a lot of times a coach would have to cut players from the team. He could only carry so many ball players or wrestlers or whatever it was on the team. And they would post a sheet. They'd do it in college with the grades many times. They'd post a list of who passed and who failed. Who the coach was going to keep on the team and who got cut from the team. I remember I'd tried out for basketball at Valley View School in Romeoville, Illinois. I was a little street urchin. And the day before the coach was supposed to post the list of who got cut and who would stay, I was walking home with my buddies with a cigarette in my hand. I mean, I was old enough to smoke. I was in the eighth grade. And walking with a cigarette in my hand, the coach came by. This is the wintertime, basketball season. I took that cigarette and I tucked it inside my hand and stuck it in my pocket. I knew all those tricks. Anybody know that trick? I had that cigarette in my coat pocket. And the coach pulled up to me and rolled down the window and said, don't burn your fingers there, Holt. My name was not on the list of those who made the team. Just thought I'd throw that in. I don't know if I've ever told that story. The Bible says confession is good for the soul. My. Our Lord will step out and he'll call my name and he says, come up hither. It's a voice that I've heard before. The voice of my Lord. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. They weren't quite getting it. They didn't quite understand it. Now, a lot of the revisers remove the word parable from the text. Go figure that one out. That's the same old religious crowd. They're not wanting to go by what God says, but what they think he should have said. A lot of people live their Christian life living it the way God thinks they ought to live it rather than the way God said they should live it. The Bible to much of the world today is a closed book because men refuse to recognize the authority of the shepherd in the words of God. We had Reformers Unanimous, our RU meeting Friday night, and one of the things we talk about, we do three talks. The first talk is where we talk to God with a prayer request and giving testimonies and bragging on God and praying, having prayer requests. And the second talk is we separate into groups and do challenges, learning scripture and that type of thing. And the third talk is when we come back and we allow God to speak to us. And that's what you're doing this morning. You've put yourself under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Word is the final authority. No preacher is. The preacher's job is to preach the Word. The Lord didn't admonish me to preach my opinion. He says, be as an in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all long suffering in doctrine. And he says, preach the word. Problems occur when preachers get away from preaching the word and they preach, well, I believe this and I believe that. Watch out. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things that he spake unto them. Bible's too much of the world is closed. This book is closed to them. And then they lack faith. The Bible says, for without faith, it's impossible to please him. You read this book by faith and God will show you something. I remember over there in John 6, I believe is way down around verse 60 something. He asked Peter, I think it was, who the folks said that he was. And he said, or who they thought he was, the disciples. And he said, here's what he said. He said, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. Do you see? And the order there is what I want to bring out. What came first? The belief. That's faith. What came after the belief? The assurance. We believe, step out by faith and believe you, God, and then you give the assurance. Americans, you've got to prove it to them first. You prove it to me and I'll believe it. But they said, we believe and are sure. With God, you place faith in what God says, and then he will give you the assurance. Just thought I'd throw that in. Wasn't in the lesson, but it works. Verse 7 here in our text, it says, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. The door of the sheep here stands in contrast to the door of the sheepfold in verse 1. We mentioned that that's probably the Holy Spirit. Christ here is the door that can bring them out from the bondage of the law and the Judaism, that religion that they were steeped in, and offers liberty. Liberty and green pastures. Brother Gerard is going through a lot of that. He came out of the Amish community, steeped in law and tradition. They need some. He's trying to bring them out of the bondage of the law and into the glorious light of Jesus Christ, liberty that is in Christ. It'll set you free. My mama was saved in a Pentecostal church down in Kentucky, the hills of Kentucky, and said when she'd finally figured out, when she had learned that she was kept by Jesus Christ, kept by God into the salvation. Bible says we are those who are kept by the power of God under salvation. Said it just absolutely set her free. That burden was gone. That fear was gone. All right. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You're not going to be justified in God's sight by being good. Because somewhere along the line you're going to commit a sin. The Bible said, all have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all gone out of the way. We've all become as an unclean thing. Bible says in Galatians 3:23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. God gave the Jew the law, the Ten Commandments, and that Levitical law, and it was to be a schoolmaster to show them that they couldn't keep it and should bring them, converting them, that they might come to Jesus Christ. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. When Sunday school teachers kept over again with the Ten Commandments when I was a boy, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, all that negative, but I began to see myself in relationship to God's holy law, and I saw that I was lacking. I wasn't the good fellow that I thought I was, and that knowledge of sin to me and knowledge of my state without God and without hope, I came to Jesus Christ and I got saved. The goodness of God led me to repentance. I saw his goodness as revealed by the commandments. Why do you think the devil was so big and so hot on removing the commandments out of the schoolhouse? Removing the commandments out of the public forum. And man, the crowd in Washington, they don't know what to do about it, because just about everywhere you go there's nothing but scripture, scripture, scripture on all those monuments and old buildings. They're plastered with scripture, because our country was founded upon the Word of God and on Jesus Christ and the Holy God of the Bible. All right. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And these are false teachers are talked about throughout scriptures. The Bible says, woe unto the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. The Lord called them blind guides, said, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? That's folks who use religious pretense to try to lure you in. They want to get your money. They want to pull you from the liberty that is in Christ. John the Baptist told this crowd, he said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The Apostle Paul said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves and to the apostles of Christ. Got to watch out. I do a message, haven't done it in a few years, I think, entitled Stay with the Flock. If you've got a Bible-believing church where the book stands paramount, that Holy Bible is the final authority, you better stick with that flock. There's danger outside of the flock. The devil lurks outside of the flock. Peter said, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. That's that false religion. Jude said, clouds, they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now listen, this crowd often has followers, lots of followers who think that they're following God. But this crowd, as the Bible says, that leads them are thieves and robbers. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, the Bible says. But the Bible-believing Christian will not hear that crowd when they go off on these strange doctrines that are unscriptural. A Bible-believing crowd shouldn't listen to that. I'm on Facebook, but I don't do any debating on Facebook. You're not going to change anybody's mind. You just start a big fight on there. If I put something on, it's just the Word of God, the truth of God, and let God take care of business there. So, Verse 9, better hurry up here. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's what the Lord does. He's the door. Seven things quickly about this verse. I am the door. That's Christ, the only way of salvation. By me, if any man enter, who gives the power to enter? The Lord. He has the authority, the power to either let you enter or keep you out. If any man enter, you notice that? He's the savior of just whosoever will. Yeah, he don't care if you've got a million or you owe a million. He don't care if you're the high priest of some synagogue or was doing that or the Boston Strangler. God loves you, and if you trust Christ, he's the door, you get in. If any man enter in, that's appropriated by a single act of faith. The disciples said, Master, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he hath sent. That's that act of faith. He shall be saved, it says. Christ delivers from the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin. The penalty of sin in this life with his forgiveness, his blood atonement. The power of sin by giving you the Holy Spirit of God. He sent the Holy Spirit to the believer to help you and encourage you so that he could lift you above the sin that so easily besets us. In the future, you'll get a new body. He promises a new body, and you'll be delivered from the presence of sin. When the Lord returns, one day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And fine pasture. The last part of that says, and fine pasture. Christ will supply all of your needs. The Bible says, for God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Numbers 27 and 15, the Bible says, and Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord God of the spirits of all flesh set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. We have somebody that we follow. That's the shepherd, Jesus Christ. God places a pastor in the church as an under-shepherd. My authority is the word of God. That's your authority. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. John said in John 14:6, as Jesus speaking said, I am the way. I am the way. The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One shepherd. One shepherd. The thief cometh not. I'm in verse 10 now. I'm trying to get finished here. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, the abundant life cannot be found in legalism. All those rules and regulations. The abundant life cannot be found in the bondage of that law, that very law. You won't find it there. The abundant life is found in the liberty of Jesus Christ, following by faith the shepherd Jesus Christ and leaning on him. Leaning on Jesus, learning from him, obeying his voice. If you love me, keep my commandments, the Lord said. The verse about the thief may ultimately refer to the Antichrist. Prophetically here, the last false shepherd of Israel who has always walked, the Antichrist has always walked in the religious circles. Not in the biker gang. That's the flesh. You'll find the Antichrist in the Bible study. He hangs out with a religious crowd because he wants worship. The last false shepherd of Israel who has always walked in the religious circles and has used religion to kill, steal, and destroy. Religion has damned more souls to hell than every bar room in this country. Zechariah 11:16. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. This is talking about the Antichrist. Woe to the idle shepherd. I'm in Zechariah 11:16, and idol here is spelled I-D-O-L in your King James Bible. Idols. The idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm. This is looking, is a prophetic about the Antichrist. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. He's going to have a wounded arm. Something's going to be wrong when the Antichrist shows up. Something's going to be wrong with his arm, and something's going to be wrong with one of his eyes. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. My, my. Immediately following this verse about the thief, Christ says then in verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. That's our shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. We follow him and none other. Don't be led about by strange voices. A stranger's voice they will not hear, the Bible says. Gail Ripplinger wrote a good work on that. The Voice of Strangers, I think, is the name of the book. I'm not sure, but it speaks about that. So a lesson this morning on the shepherd, the sheepfold. And then a little sidebar about the sheepfold, the story where the foot washing shows up. Had to do with when the folks would come into town. Whether it was a shepherd or whatever, not only was there a common sheepfold for the sheep, but there was a common bathhouse where folks would get cleaned up. And they'd wash and get clean and then leave that common bathhouse and go visit to who they were staying with or to their home, whatever. And between the time that they left the bathhouse and they got to where they were going, to the friend's house, their feet would get dirty. Remember, the Lord told that crowd, oh, you're clean every whit. Oh, you got all cleaned up. When you got saved, you got all cleaned up. And then you get walked back after the moment you get saved. You're going to get your feet dirty with some sin in this world. And that's why the Lord said, I've got to wash your feet. And then it says, "For by the washing of water, by the word of God." Once you get saved, you stay cleaned up, and you do it by the washing of water, by the Word. You let the Word of God keep you clean, get you clean. Those in addictions know what I'm talking about. You need to have something to help you stay clean and to get you clean. You got clean, but sometimes it's difficult staying clean. It's the same with any child of God. It takes the Word of God to keep you cleaned up. And we do that by trusting the good shepherd. In Psalms 57:2, the psalmist said, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me. Let God do it for you. He'll keep you cleaned up. Stay in his word. You don't know what he's telling you if you don't read the book. It's not going to be some weird voice that God spoke to them. It's going to be through the word of God, or a preacher preaching the word of God. That's where the power is, and that's where the lessons are, and the cleaning in the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for each and every one who has come out today. Thank you for your mercy and your love and your goodness. Lord, thank you for the good camp meeting you gave me to get me fired up and preached up, Lord. And thank you for those men and the sacrifices of the men and women at that meeting, Lord. And We'll thank you and praise you. Give us a good day in the Lord. Pray if there's any here today that come under the preaching of the Word of God, have never trusted Christ, that today would be that day. And we ask all this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.